that is your testimony tonight, testimony of each one of us, that we love Jesus, and that love is compelling us to serve him in obedience. And also, as we walk that road, that we have that hope of seeing him someday in heaven. And I hope that is your testimony. I hope that is your state tonight. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16. I'm going to take the title from a verse found in Luke chapter 16, verse 26. The phrase there that we like to grab for our title is, the great gulf that is fixed. Verse 26 reads like this, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. There are two pronouns. I believe the pronouns, English was not my strong point in school. But in the first part of the verse, the us and the you. The us being Christians. The us being those that are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. The us being those that are obedient to Jesus Christ. The us being those that are studying the word. The us that are being prepared and ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Us. The saved. The church. There's a great contrast. It says, besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. And I don't know who the yous are here tonight. You does not include everyone outside of me. This is not a conversation like that. This is a statement that is separating the saint from the sinner. So the word you in this passage, in this verse, is saying, it is identifying the sinner, identifying the person that is not right with God, identifying the person that does not have Jesus Christ as their Savior. There is a great gulf fixed between those that are saved and those that are unsaved. And we're speaking of eternity. Let's start reading now from verse 19 through the end of the chapter. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and in fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The word gulf means a large chasm, a large void between two pieces of land or two places of dwelling. Large chasm, something that cannot be crossed. It is an eternal reality of God's thoughts concerning the righteous and the wicked. This is an eternal reality. God is going to forever separate the righteous into eternal bliss, and the wicked into eternal torment. The purpose of the great gulf that is fixed is in order that the righteous may always enjoy the eternal glories, unencumbered by any association of the wicked and their punishment. You know, saints, tonight we can glory in the fact, we can revel in the fact that we have a wonderful time coming. We have a wonderful abode. We have a wonderful Savior to dwell with. We need not fear the coming of Jesus Christ. We need not fear eternity. We will be unencumbered by temptation, by any association of the wicked and their punishment. God is keeping a place and preparing a place for us, he tells us in his word. The other purpose of the great gulf that is fixed that is that in order that the wicked receive their eternal reaping, in isolation from all that is pure, from all that is good, and from all that is righteous. This is the great gulf that is fixed. And if you're here tonight and you are a sinner, you are not right with God, you have a terrible, terrible time ahead of you. If you do not become right with God, if you do not choose Jesus Christ, He is calling. If you do not choose Jesus Christ, you have a terrible, terrible eternity coming. There is no good in your eternity. There is no comfort in your eternity. There is no Savior in your eternity. There is no singing in your eternity. Instead, it's wailing and gnashing of teeth. The great gulf that is fixed. The great gulf that is fixed between the righteous and the wicked is a theme that begins in Genesis and runs throughout Scripture. Story after story after story. God separates the wicked from the righteous and the righteous from the wicked. The righteous will have a comforting deliverance. And we like to look at some of these stories for most of our message. Look at the stories of God's deliverance. And one of the reasons I'm doing this is because there are tender-hearted people that are bothered about the thought of eternity. And you need not be, my friend. Tender-hearted people that are saints and Jesus Christ is your Savior. You need not be afraid. You need not quail, because there is a comforting deliverance that God has shown us in His Word from the beginning of Scripture and to the end. And it will be that way in the last day. We will be delivered. There will be a comforting deliverance for the saved. But the lost, they need fear. They need change. They need Jesus. Genesis chapter 7. We'd like to start our story there. We'll not read all of these, but some of them we will recount and some we will read. This is the story of Noah. I'll not read the entire story either. But it says in chapter 7, verse 1 of Genesis, it says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou." You hear the tenderness, you hear the comfort. "Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." God is calling. There's a comforting deliverance coming. Now, we remember the whole world was wicked and evil and terrible. And God said, "I'm going to destroy this world." But He gave Noah, a righteous man, He gave him the plan for that ark. He told him what was going to happen. And now the ark is finished, and God is in a very comforting invitation telling Noah, "Come on in, because you and your righteous family are going to be saved." We go to verse 18 through 23, "And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail. And the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of the fowl and of the cattle and of the beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And every man." This was the fate of the wicked. We see God's comforting deliverance of His people, His comforting deliverance of His saints, those that love Him, those that serve Him, those that are watching for His return. But it says of the wicked that every man died. We could go to Genesis chapter 18, to Abraham. He's looking, the angels came to visit him there, and they were going to destroy the city of that Lot lived in, Sodom and Gomorrah. They were going to destroy that, and they said, "Shall we tell Abraham?" Said, "He's been righteous. He's going to train up his family in righteousness." And so they told Abraham what was going to happen. And Abraham interceded. And God said to Abraham, "I will not destroy it for ten's sake, for the sake of 10 souls." And so that we see in a very comforting deliverance, the angels took Lot and his wife and two daughters by the hand and set them outside the city of Sodom. And then it says that God rained fire and brimstone down on the rest of that city. And Abraham arose in the morning. He was concerned. He looked down across the valley. And it said, "And the smoke of the country arose like the smoke of a furnace." Again, we see God's deliverance of the righteous. And I know the Lot, in Hebrews it says that it vexed Lot's righteous soul. And we're not going to talk about Lot tonight, but it was righteous enough that God delivered him from that judgment that rained down on the rest of the wicked city. We could go to Exodus chapter 8. Israel was in slavery in Egypt. It begins by God calling Moses and the plagues beginning. And in the beginning of that story, the magicians were able to duplicate the plagues. But there came a time when God said, that's enough. It's getting serious now. And God said, there will be a division between my people and thy people. And then the rest of the plagues only afflicted the Egyptians. The Lord said in Exodus 11:7, the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And there was the plague of the death of all the firstborns, unless you had the blood on the post. And there God again drew a great difference. The blood made the difference. The blood of the goat, the blood of the lamb, I should say. There they struck it on the doorpost and on the lintel. And in all of Egypt there was a great mourning and a wailing, as there was death in every household. We come to the Red Sea crossing in Exodus chapter 14. The Red Sea crossing, Israel was up against the Red Sea, and old Pharaoh and his army had decided that they didn't want to let Israel go after all. And they pursued them, they had them trapped against the mountains and the sea. They were in a very, very bad predicament. And God moved in with his pillar of cloud. It says he moved from before Israel to behind them, because the cloud had been leading them. But now the cloud moves behind them as a protection. And it says that this cloud was unto Israel a light and to the Egyptians darkness. The same cloud. We see again God's wonderful deliverance of his people. His protection, his comfort. It says, so they came not near each other all night. There was a great gulf that was fixed between God's people and the people that were wicked and unrighteous. The following morning, I believe, or maybe it was the same night, God caused that wind to blow and he parted the Red Sea and Israel passed over on dry ground. They're heading for the promised land. God is making provision. God is leading them. And the Egyptians thought that they could cross too, since there was a pathway there. They thought, well, we'll still get them. But as the Egyptians were crossing, God caused the waters to return. And it says, there remained not so much as a one of them. The great gulf that is fixed. And tonight I just want us to be impressed. Again, saints, I want you to think about the comforting deliverance of God. This is a theme in Scripture. And the day of the Lord will come in the same way. We will be rescued. We will be comforted. We will be delivered. And we will go to be with our Jesus, our Savior, our eternity in heaven. The reward for living a holy life. A reward for saying yes to Jesus. In Matthew 25, there were 10 virgins that were preparing for the bridegroom. And 5 had gone out and bought oil, and 5 were unprepared. And when the bridegroom came, it says, they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterwards, the others had hurried out to get oil. After they saw the bridegroom coming, they awoke in a tizzy. And they said, well, maybe we still have time. And they ran and got the oil and come back. But the door was shut. Afterward came the others and said, Lord, Lord, open to us. And the Lord said, verily, I know you not. The great gulf that is fixed. Matthew 25 is the account also where that Lord delivered to his servants talents according to their ability. And those faithful servants that had been profitable for their Lord, that had faith, that had a heartbeat. God said to their Lord, said to them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Because they had profited the Lord. They had lived for him. They had used their talents and gifts for him. But that slothful and wicked servant had buried that talent, that had not said yes to his Lord in his heart, but had buried his life, had buried it in doing things for himself, in laziness and, and unprofitableness. The Lord said, thou slothful and wicked servant. It says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The great gulf that is fixed. Matthew 25 also, I'd like to read from verses 31 and 34. It's the great dividing of the sheep and the goats. It's a theme that runs from cover to cover in our holy word, where God comfortingly delivers his people, especially thinking of eternity, the great gulf that is fixed. 31 through 34, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. His sheep. It doesn't even say his goats. The goats. An unidentifiable creature, because they do not know the Lord Jesus. But his sheep, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goat. 41, then shall he say also, actually I want to keep reading there, that was 32. 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, hear the comfort, hear the comforting deliverance, hear the kindness of the Father, hear the kindness of the shepherd. Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he goes on and tell them what they did for him, their service to him. They were faithful. They were obedient. They loved the Lord. But verse 41 tells of the judgment of the goat. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And it goes on again to say, because you did not work for me, you weren't my sheep, you didn't work for me, you didn't accept me as your shepherd, didn't accept me as your caring shepherd. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, some interesting pronouns in this passage. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, who are the we? The saved, the sheep of the shepherd, those that are obedient, those that are walking with God, those that have a faith with a heartbeat. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's going to be a beautiful time. Saints, don't forget, it's going to be a beautiful time. It's not a time of fear. It's not a time of worry. But it's a time of a grand reunion. It's like mom calling across the field to her children, come children, come home, supper is ready. Chapter 5, verse 8. Listen to these words. But let us, the sheep, those that are obedient, those that are ready, the saints, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Yeah, I think that's where I want to be. Breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also as also do ye. There was some more. I think I want to read the first part of chapter 5 yet. Let me try it. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon who? Them. Them, not us, not the saints, not the sheep, not the obedient. come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep are sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Those are the verses I wanted, the interesting pronouns. And so here we find that in the coming of the Lord, there is going to be a great gulf that is fixed, a great difference in eternity, a great difference in how we can look at the rescue and the deliverance of the sheep and the judgment and the reaping of the lost. Let's have 3 points tonight, 3 short points. The great gulf that is fixed is a blessing and comfort to the prepared saint. It's a comfort and a blessing. It brings thoughts of rescue, thoughts of reward, thoughts of rest, thoughts of reunion with the saints of all time. Can you imagine sitting down and seeing, or and however you wanted to describe it, but going into and entering into heaven and seeing our blessed Lord and Savior and seeing all the prophets of the ages and sitting down with Moses and Elisha and the 12 disciples, the grandest reunion of all time. What a beautiful time it will be. We have a grand time ahead of us, saints. A grand time. It's a blessing and comfort to the prepared saint. It brings words like deliverance and mercy and comfort, all of those things it brings to us. The second point is the great gulf that is fixed is a terror, present and future, to the unprepared. It's a terror. The Bible tells us. We read many scriptures and recounted many stories of how this is how God deals with righteousness versus unrighteousness, versus holiness, unholiness, holiness versus evil. It is a terror, and there is an eternity coming to the unprepared. It is a terror. It brings thoughts of punishment, thoughts of terrible agony, terrible torture, for the only reason that you didn't say yes to Jesus Christ. But the only reason that self was on the throne, you chose to sin instead of obey. The great gulf that is fixed. Point number 3. While there is life, you may choose a side of the great gulf that is fixed. Tonight, there is a choice. While there is life, there is a choice. You may choose tonight. You may choose which your eternity will be, whether it will be the we and the us, the saved, the obedient, to be with Jesus Christ, to be comfortingly delivered, to be rescued, to be taken to heaven. Or you can choose your eternal agony, your eternal torture, your eternal punishment. It's all within choice, because Jesus Christ has come down to this earth, lived and died, shed his blood for us. He is calling to us to apply the blood to our life, to repent of our sins and come to him. All the folks in our Bible stories had an opportunity to choose. They all had an opportunity to choose. Tonight, you have an opportunity to choose. If you are unsaved tonight, Jesus offers to change your position. He offers to change your position. That position can be changed in an instant, in a prayer. Jesus Christ, come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. It takes repentance. Oh, I think of that thief on the cross. There, one hanging on either side of Jesus. And the minutes were ticking off. And that man was going to die, and he knew it. And tonight, all of us are going to die, and we know it. Those minutes were ticking off. And finally, he could stand it no more. And he looked over at Jesus and he said, Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy paradise. And Jesus said, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. You can do that tonight. The opportunity is before you. You can choose which side of that great gulf you will spend eternity on. You can go from unsaved to saved tonight, from lost to found. Tonight, we're going to give an invitation. I don't know what your standing is before God, but if you're not a we and an us that's going to be delivered in the great coming of Jesus Christ, if you don't know your eternal destiny, should you die tonight, you need to make that certain. You need to come to Jesus Christ. The call of Jesus Christ is not my call. I am offering to you His call. I'm offering to each one His call. As 1 Corinthians 5:20 says, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That is the call. Tonight, is that story of Joshua. He stood before the children of Israel, and he said, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Will it be the gods that are behind us, the gods back in Egypt, all the false gods, or he said, will it be the living God? But he stood there, and as he asked him that question, he turned right around on the heels of it and said, but I tell you who you must choose. It is the living God. You can serve the gods that you want to serve, but I tell you tonight the correct choice is to serve the God of heaven. It's to serve the God of heaven, the one that sent down his son Jesus Christ into this sin-cursed earth. The one that many of us have chosen to align our lives with. The one that many of us are trusting in and have come under his blood, and his blood has washed away our sins. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And can I say, tonight? Let's have an invitation tonight. What will the hymn number be? 566 in the church. 566 in the church.